Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you on today's edition of Basic Gospel. If you're struggling with Bible questions or personal issues, well, we're here to talk it through with you. And you can give us a call right now to 844-322-2742. And if you're hearing the live program, you can speak directly with us if you call right now. Overnight, you can call the same number, 844-322-2742, and leave a voicemail with your question or your issue, and we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Either way, call now, 844-322-2742, because this is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's a passage that I think is really encouraging. It certainly is encouraging to me. And it's right in the center of Ephesians chapter 2, the first 10 verses. And these first 10 verses of this particular chapter are really an explanation of God's grace, exactly what God's grace has accomplished for you and me. And it starts out with our condition, our spiritual condition, apart from Jesus Christ, the fact that we were dead in trespasses and sins, the fact that we walked according to the ways of this world, that we lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. We were by nature children of wrath. So it paints a very bleak picture of who we are, who we were apart from Jesus Christ. But then it talks about the love of God. So there's a pivot from our condition to the very character and nature of God himself. But God, being rich in mercy, that's who God is. He made us alive together with Christ. We've been saved by grace. So that's the good news. But here's some benefits of that. Here's exactly what that means for us. He's raised us up with him, and he has seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we were made alive together with Christ. That's the grace of God that saves us. But also the grace of God raised us up and seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. That's our location. That's where we are. We are with him in him. And here's the reason. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So we actually stand eternally as trophies of grace. Yeah. All of creation is going to look upon us as the special creation, the pinnacle of God's creation, those who know God in a way that everything else in creation does not. We know his grace. We know his love. We know his mercy. So we're going to be the ones that creation looks upon and says, hey, they're the folks that experience the grace of God. Now, Peter talks about that as well in his letter, his first letter. And he says this about angels. It says it was revealed to them, and this is the prophets of old, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the gospel. And he said that's been preached to us by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about the grace of God. He's talking about the fact that the prophets of old were teaching the grace of God and telling the people back in that day that there was going to come a time that this grace was going to be revealed and that salvation would be made plain and would be offered to all who call upon the name of the Lord. And the prophets of old, they searched deeply into that, wondering when that time might be and exactly who they were serving. And then he ends this section and says, this is the very things into which angels long to look. You know, angels are never going to experience what we experience by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. They're never going to know the fullness of God's grace. They're never going to know what his mercy is all about. They are messengers sent to serve those who are going to inherit salvation, but they're going to stand in awe of us as they see this reality that Paul talked about in Ephesians 2, that in the coming ages, God is going to show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So we're going to stand eternally as trophies of grace. It's grace that saves us. It's grace that sustains us. It's grace that we're going to rejoice in at the very end of our lives, our time here on planet Earth. And then when we live in eternity, we're going to be trophies of grace, a constant reminder of the grace of God that has been poured out on us in Christ Jesus.
That's good news, Bob. Thank you for sharing that. Friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we have open lines for you at 844-322-2742. You can come in and be a part of this edition right now. Speak directly with us. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. And Bob, speaking of grace, something exciting coming in mid-October this year. For the first time since the advent of COVID-19, Basic Gospel friends will be able to attend a live Bible conference, and we're pretty stoked about that. Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley will present a unified front to proclaim the grace of Jesus Christ in an event called United. And we want to see you there October 15th through the 17th at our ministry hometown of Louisville, Texas. You can go online right now and get information or register or both at basicgospel.net/united. It's going to be like old times to get together with all of our friends, Bob, and it's going to be a great opportunity to make new times to be remembered as we go forward as well. So again, all the information and registration at basicgospel.net/united. I know you're excited about it. I am too.
Oh, I'm really excited about this. It's just going to be awesome to be able to gather again with believers in a conference setting and a conference format. You know, there's folks that attend church and they hear a sermon every week and they process that, and it's meaningful and encouraging to them. But it doesn't necessarily always give the full picture of what this grace of God is all about and the full scope of the benefits that we share in as believers in Christ and just what our relationship with the Lord now is as a result of God's grace. And to come to a conference like this, you're going to get the big picture. You're going to see it from start to finish. And you can't underestimate the beauty and the wonder and the power of that. And as far as helping you put all the pieces together to connect the dots. So we want you to come to participate in that, in this particular conference, and get the full picture, fellowship with believers from all across this country. And it's going to be an exciting time, I guarantee it. And there's going to be some great teaching, great fellowship, great food. We're going to share a wonderful meal together Saturday night. It's just going to be a true, genuine blessing of grace. So don't miss it. Come join us October 15th through the 17th, right here in Louisville, Texas, at the Hilton Garden Inn and Convention Center. It is an absolutely beautiful venue. You will enjoy it. It's in close proximity to great restaurants right around here and other things that you can do while you're here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be a great time, as you said, Bob, and I am looking forward to it. Right now, I'm looking forward to hearing from some of you, our friends, at 844-322-2742. Lines available right now. Give us a call, friends. And in the meantime, this call came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi. I've been previously divorced.
Well, let's try that again.
Hi. I've been previously divorced, and I want to remarry. And I want to ask if being married again, is that considered a continual sin as far as every time being with my new husband intimately, would that be considered committing adultery over and over again? Thank you.
Well, certainly there are a bunch of legalists who would say that. They would have the law judge you at every turn as far as this new marriage is concerned. They would even judge you very harshly for the divorce. So, yeah, there are a lot of legalists that are going to say, yes, if you get remarried, you're going to live in a perpetual state of adultery. And therefore, they would say, you should be aware of the judgment of God, of eternal judgment of spiritual death. Well, that just really robs the cross of its power, robs the cross of its goodness and exactly what it accomplished for you and for me. So as far as divorce, you got married, you divorced. It doesn't sound like you were divorcing your first husband in order to marry somebody else. I don't know what the circumstances of that were, but that old marriage is gone. I'm sure y'all tried reconciliation. You know, I don't know, but I'm sure you tried everything possible to keep that together. And now you've met somebody else. What I would say to you, as far as this new marriage is concerned, this new relationship is concerned, is you make sure that he's in Christ and you make sure that you're in Christ and that y'all are coming together first and foremost as brothers and sisters in Christ, that your relationship is centered in the grace of God. Your relationship is centered in this new life that you have in Christ. Now, if that's not the case, then it would not be wise to move forward with the relationship. So make sure that that's the case. And if that's the case and you want to continue in the marriage, then I think you can do so with some confidence that God is going to work in the midst of it. And that's the good news. So you have to recognize this, and I think all of our listeners have to recognize this, that when Christ died at the cross, he died for all sin. He didn't die for some sins, and forget about others. He died for all sins. And certainly divorce, adultery, those would all line up in the sins that he died for. So if you're in Christ, and that's the key question, being in Christ. If you're in Christ, then you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If you're in Christ, you also have the Holy Spirit. So you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's good news. You can move forward with confidence that God hasn't turned his back on you, that he is there for you in your time of need. He's there for you every minute of every single day. His presence is with you. So you also have the Holy Spirit who is going to empower you and teach you to say no to worldly passions and to the desires of the flesh, and to teach you how to live righteous and an upright life in this present generation. So trust the Spirit of God to give you some discernment. And if he gives you discernment and raises some red flags as far as this relationship is concerned, listen to those red flags. Don't move forward if there's some caution, if there's some red flags deep within inside you. They're there for a reason. They're there for a purpose. So you're going to find in this new covenant that God isn't, if you're married, God is going to say to you, do everything that you can to be reconciled, to stay married. But if you're not married, he's going to say it's not sin to get married. Yeah. So just go forward with that in confidence, but make sure that this person you're marrying is in Jesus Christ, that their lives are centered in the Lord, and that their lives are actually his life being lived out through him.
Well, we hope that this caller is listening, and that's a help. And if you have further questions, don't hesitate to give us a call again. It's a question that trips up a lot of people, and that was about the clearest answer you're going to find on that particular issue. So, Bob, thank you for that. Again, the phone number, friends, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. And yesterday, we had a question from David. We got to the first part of his question, but we didn't get to the second part. So here is the second part of David's question, who is a Facebook viewer. Or he says, I see in Revelation the beast is able to make war with the saints and win. I don't have to go down easy, do I?
No, you don't have to go down easy at all. And you know, here's what it says. And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them, and authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life, of the Lamb that was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So here's the good news. We may suffer defeat at the hand of the enemy here on planet Earth, but that's not the ultimate defeat. Satan has already been defeated. The beast has already been defeated. We can count on that. We have been marked out by the Holy Spirit, and we can live victoriously through whatever happens on planet Earth. Our victory is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have already overcome. And John talks about that in his first letter. We are overcomers. Who is it that overcomes? It is he who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. That faith is overcoming, victorious faith. So whatever happens in this world, we know that we've already conquered because Christ is the conqueror. Yes. And we are more than conquerors. Now, there are many people who look at this book of Revelation and they really apply it to what was happening in that period between the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the destruction of Jerusalem. And certainly they would look and say Nero fit the bill for the beast. And he had he exercised authority for 42 months. That was kind of his reign. And boy, he uttered all kinds of blasphemies against believers in Christ. And he did all kinds of cruel and wicked things to those who named the name of Christ. Man, he would kill them and put them up on a stake and light them on fire as a torch, as a light for a path or something. I mean, he was demonic and evil and cruel and all of those things to believers during his reign as Caesar. So a lot of people would say, hey, that fits the bill for this particular passage. And certainly many believers suffered at his hands, but that wasn't a defeat for them. For them, death was gain. It was something greater, because as soon as they breathed their last, they were absent from the body and present with the Lord Jesus Christ. So recognize this, we're already victorious through the victory that Christ won for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And let me just read this passage in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed.
That's the good news.
And what encouraging words those are. Well, friends, Bob Christopher is a busy guy, and his busyness in large part is in using media to share the good news of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the great ways that Bob proclaims that message is through our YouTube channel, where he's posted literally dozens of insight-filled videos that you can view absolutely free. His latest video addresses the question, is it ever too late to be saved? And you can find it and all of Bob's videos at basicgospel.net/YouTube. It's all there for you, and we hope you'll tell your family and friends about them too, because they're welcome to view them as well. Again, you'll find it all at basicgospel.net/YouTube.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk with Clay down in Thorndale, Texas. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Clay.
Hey, good to hear you, man, today. How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing A-OK. How about you, my friend?
Doing good, Bob. You look great.
Well, thank you. makeup and all kinds of stuff does wonders, doesn't it?
A little sunshine in there.
You look better than Sunday morning.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you.
Of course, I do too. Hey, real quick, in Hebrews 2, 7, quoting out of Psalms 8:5, and I'm in New American Standard Bible. I like the way it reads. And or it says, "What is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels." Okay, I presume that's talking about Jesus. And what is that little while? Is that his earthly ministry, or is that when he was on the cross?
Well, I think that's maybe his earthly time here with us, that he subjected himself to being to a life of dependence upon his Father, that sort of thing. But it goes on to say, "But you have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet." And this is one of those verses that we have to keep reading, a passage that we have to keep reading, because it's going to mean something to us personally. So he says, it's not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It is Jesus Christ himself. And we also learn in scriptures that we're going to judge angels. Paul talks about that in First Corinthians, and he starts that with, "Do you not know that you're going to judge angels?" And what it's saying to us, Clay, is simply this, that we are the pinnacle of God's creation. We are the ones that bear his image. Angels do not. Angels are ministering servants sent to serve for the sake of those who inherit salvation. That's their job. That's their duty. That's their obligation. That's what God created them to do, to serve you and me. And we see this going forward. "Now, at present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels." He's speaking specifically about Jesus. And he says he was crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, that's you and that's me, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin, and that is why he is not ashamed to call us brothers. So Jesus subjected himself and became obedient, even obedient unto death. And I think the writer of Hebrews is picking up on that same theme that Paul talked about in Philippians 2. But the end of that story is the Lord's exaltation back to glory, and the fact that we're going to share in that glory with him.
Oh, that's real good. That simplified it. I appreciate it. Sometimes I get focused on the wrong thing, where the as usual, the subject there is just like the rest of the Bible from beginning to end, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, Clay. Well, sure, nice to hear from you. Thanks for the kind email. I sure appreciated that. And thanks for this great question today.
Yes, indeed. And thanks to everybody for joining us for this edition. A reminder that we have a great resource we'd like to send you as our way of saying thanks for your gift to keep the message of grace and life in Jesus Christ going forward. It's called Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out, and we'll send you a copy as you make your gift to support Basic Gospel in the month of May. Be sure to request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that if you have questions concerning the Christian life or a Bible passage you can't quite understand, or an issue you may find hard to deal with, well, just give us a call at 844-322-2742, and you'll hear your question discussed on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, and I hope to be back with you in a couple of weeks after my back surgery, but I invite you to join Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley tomorrow on Basic Gospel. Take care, be safe, and God bless everybody.